Matt.
Yes, Kenny.
It's season 14.
Hard to even believe it, really.
Hard to believe, considering we don't really do a good job tracking this.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, we've been doing this for almost 15 years.
I mean, okay.
Technically, we're at 14. And we've also passed the 100 episode milestone, which most podcasts pass in, I think, their first week.
That's right, we have. Yeah. But it was like before the last one, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't the last one like 101 or something?
No, it's been a while. I think we're at 106. Oh. Wow.
Did we celebrate in any way, or did we do anything special?
We don't celebrate shit on this podcast. You know what we celebrate, though?
What?
Games! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Chips and Bits podcast. I am your host, Kenny Myers, and with me for almost 15 years, as always, is...
Matthew Anderson.
Granted, there were some break years. If you could subscribe and like us, we have that on YouTube now, so you can do that there. And you know, follow us wherever podcasts are followed into the quiet night. Matt,
yeah,
it's a new year and we're already late.
Yep, we sure are.
If, for people who know our schedule, it's usually the first Monday. We usually start in February, end in November, and we've just been so overwhelmed with a bunch of other shit we're doing, including our new app, our photo sorting app, Proof. That we forgot to do this, but the games were finished in time.
Yes.
And I think that's the most important part, really, you know, for the podcast is not recording the podcast, but finishing the games.
Agreed.
I know you're just waiting for the sound. So, I mean, it's more like two minutes
at this point, really, you're just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just go. It's like I knew you were giving short answers because it was just like, I mean, let's really talk after the sound intro, Kenny.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Are we a video game podcast or what are we talking about here?
I mean, we are already late. So, you know, I figure we don't really celebrate milestones, but we are one of the longest running, still going gaming podcasts of all time.
That can't be true. You're just making that up.
No, I'm pretty sure it's true. I'm pretty sure it's true.
All right. Well, hey, I'll take it.
But I will look it up just to be clear, okay, and see if I can find the first. I mean, I'm sure there was some in the 90s and then radio shows. I guess, it, you know. Today we're talking about the sequel to one of my favorite games of all time. Matt, I would say this is one of your highest rated games of all time. Would you say this is the first one?
The God of War. Yeah. I mean, it's
2018.
I don't know where it ranks exactly, but.
Yeah, we both loved it. There's a whole ass episode about it. And today we're talking about its sequel, God of War Ragnarok, which came out on PlayStation roughly 300 years ago. Yep. And came out to PC roughly 4 months ago. So I played it finally, because apparently I'm now just a dedicated PC gamer.
Yeah, get them.
I did actually start the game on PlayStation. I bought it, I played it, and I got to a certain point. Which was when you first encounter spoilers. There's spoilers in this thing. I feel like we should do always. This once every like
first podcast of the season. Reminder: we spoil everything.
It's just like every eight years we should remind people we spoil something. Yeah. When you're working with Freya through her world, like through the world the Vanir. And I was like, this is very beautiful. Also, I'm doing other things right now. I'm going to play this when it comes to PC, because Sony's now doing that, which we're all very grateful for, because they look beautiful on PC. And Matt, I played it
back when it came out on PlayStation, and just now realizing exactly how long it then has been since I played it, because since then, I've adopted a second dog whose name is Freya, which makes it very weird that you just mentioned my dog's name while you were talking about the podcast.
While I was adventuring through the world of the Vanir with your dog.
Yes.
It was really wonderful. You know, just every game should have a dog companion.
Totally.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So you got a dog. She's lovely. I have yet to meet her because I don't travel to Boise. I'm not a horrible person. I'm kidding. I've heard Boise's lovely. Matt says it's lovely all the time.
It's fine.
Matt, having not played this in a while, give me your thoughts with perspective.
Perspective? What do you mean?
The perspective of not having played it and like your feeling of the game in general.
Yeah, my feeling of the game in general was I can still remember what it felt like to go through this game and remembering it as another one of my favorite games, still there. Like I still have all of the feelings and memories about it.
Like more so than 2018's?
I don't think so. This is one of those where, you know, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but when a really good game comes out, it's always going to be hard to top it when it's as good as the first one. So I don't know if I can say it's better than the first one. I just know that this certainly places this remake and series, but rather than just saying now that like the previous God of War was one of my favorite games, this game combined with it is rapidly pushing it up the echelons of my favorite series of all times, which was not what God of War used to mean to me.
Interesting.
And now it does. Like I very much look forward to continuing to play other games in this series, and I didn't think that was going to happen.
I think this might be one of my least, now I want to caveat this. This is a good game. Like this is a good game. I think everyone should play it. This is probably one of my least favorite God of Wars. That isn't like one of the side ones in the main line, including God of War 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
I feel like it's one of those cases where the sum is not equivalent to its parts. Like this game has some absolutely phenomenal parts to it, like some pieces and places, but like there's a lot of bullshit and like extra stuff in this game. And I think this might have felt different if I didn't play on one of the harder difficulty modes, because the balancing is really bad. So the pacing gets really thrown off real quick. To the point where I actually turned down my difficulty mode, which has happened a few times. It happened with Horizon, the first one, where I'm just like, this is like the progression. Like, I don't feel rewarded. This isn't a From Software game who perfected the reward system of just dying a lot. I felt like the main story was fantastic, and they solved a lot of problems I thought I had with the first game. But as far as like the arc of the story and what was going on, it wasn't as tight as the first game. The first game told a really like the more I think about it, just like incredibly well executed story that like took you from places and didn't take you away from them for too much. And you know, as with any game, they always want to do more with the concept that they do with any sequel. And some games do like way too much, like the sequel to our favorite Tomb Raider remake, where it's just like, no, this was too much. Or some games, you know, go fucking ham, like Hogwarts Legacy, where they just like, here's everything all at once that's uninteresting. This thing did have interesting things to do. And it fixed my biggest complaint with the original game, which I still hold in high esteem, which is there were no bosses. And boy, there are bosses in this one, and they're super cool. They are super cool. And they, creature variety was actually not very great. It's not big in this game. There's not a lot of that for such an expansive world. But the bosses were really fun. I mean, it looks beautiful. And it honestly has some of the most, I don't know if it's just where I'm at in my life. I mean, I'd be curious to gauge it with you, because there's a lot of things about fatherhood and regrets and all that stuff. And as a father, it resonated as a father. It resonated with me because of mostly because of like all the things I think are my failings with my kids. Right. Like just like, but in the broader thing. Yeah. Already. I'm just like getting in early. I'm a self-starter. You know, it's efficiency. Just like, we just need to bring more masculine energy to this podcast, you know, Matt? Mm.
Yeah.
I've just been thinking that lately. And God of War,
I'm glad you said it out loud on a podcast.
Yeah. Just like more masculine energy.
So wait, stop, before you go too far into other stuff, like, why didn't you feel this? I mean, I get that. There is one, it's not linear, but in the first one, there's a very specific purpose to the story arc. Like throughout the entire first game, it's like, hey, we're going to focus on this father-son relationship and kind of redefine it in the modern era, between Kratos and his boy and in this one, there's certainly more, right? There's other stories. There's other character arcs as well. But I felt like they're all really good. Like even like the Brock and Sundry, I mean, all of the arcs of the characters are, I feel like those self-contained stories are just as tight. Those loops and the arc are just as tight as the first one. There's just more of them in this game than there was in the first. That would be my take on it.
Yeah. But I don't feel like the threads, it's like, that's what I mean. Like when I think about how the threads are resolved, I don't think it was really like satisfying conclusions to them to a certain degree. Like a really good one is Thor, mm-hmm. who has a really good arc. Like the parts of it are amazing. Like the dialogue, Thrud, his daughter, how she gets involved and like his constant battle with his dad. And like, then Odin kills him. Like, while he changed in that one moment, like, I didn't think that resolution was particularly compelling. Like, I think it's much more interesting to fucking Breaking Bad people and like throw them into the situation to see how it goes. That being said, like, it was like they did like gaming twists on really interesting things, right? Like Tyr, for example.
Tyr's like so crazy.
It was a great
twist. That utterly shocked me. Utterly shocked me.
It was a great twist, and the twist is that he's someone else the whole time. However,
I wonder who.
I was really bummed because I thought his whole a god of war that has given up war and was like a pacifist. Like the motivations make sense within the thing, but they get really gamey at the end, right? Like it's just like, oh, he was secretly because he was trying to stop himself from being destroyed, you know?
Sure.
Versus like the compelling example, which is like, oh, he actually just like won't enter this fray, even if it means betterment for this, because it just leads to more, it's more exhausting. And so that kind of got like I feel like all those threads, particularly with characters that were tangential, were uninteresting. And from my understanding, the DLC actually resolves pieces of the stories that are really interesting. And you and I never played that. Like there's a story thing, and I think it follows Freya and their kind of relationship towards the end, which
my
is
dog?
Freya, your dog. It's actually weird. A photo appears, and it's just like, you just won the DLC. It's like a talking mouth of your dog, and it's just like, here's what happens in the story next. I mean, the Freya, like, I don't mind if that's open ended because it seems like those. The core three characters, which, you know, the first game you would say the core two, but she was there all along anyway, which is Freya, Atreus, and...
what's his face?
Yeah, the guy, Kratos.
Kratos.
I just like some of the best line delivery and like truly like... Well, Atreus is hit or miss, but he's younger. but like truly interesting, like I felt like Atreus and Kratos's arc, like the first game, was incredibly well resolved. Like that felt like, yeah, this feels like where they are. Like this is great. It came really organically. It's like, and if you played the first game, you're like even more rewarded. Like it's the perfect written arc. And I felt like Freya, you know, to come back from killing your son to like partnering with you on these things is pretty significant. And while I did feel it was just sort of like, you know, for the greater good for a bit. I think they did a natural, like a really good job of like building that. And in fact, one of my favorite pieces of gaming dialogue ever is that moment that I missed out when I played the first time. I have a lot of thoughts about this game. I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm talking so much. When Freya and Kratos are going to free her from the roots, because essentially Freya is tied to the world, like she can only be in bird form. They free her, and then they're like walking back and trying to solve something in Freya's land. And you go through, I think, her side quest, which was really brilliant. And they just talk about, it's like a meditation on parenting and violence and vengeance. And like, she finds out about Kratos's history, and they talk about like revenge, and the writing on that shit was just like jumping from like funny because the actors are delivering the lines really well. And like, they do a little bit of sarcasm, but not like Marvel sarcasm. And then like really beautiful, like existential questions about what it means to like be in this world and like have these regrets and these things that they did and like their kids and they're intertwined. It was like jaw dropping that in all this game with all its like fun combat, well, combat, I'll get back to that, with its like really fun, like it's really beautiful worlds. It's like, you know, interesting story. It wasn't bad. Like as far as game stories go, it's really like cream of the crop. Like my favorite moment was actually just this dialogue and these two actors. And obviously there's a whole team animating and like, and just in the whole game, it's, I think it's the only game that I've ever had that like of this scale where like that dialogue was actually something really interesting to me versus, you know, the set pieces, which were fantastical. Like they were so good, but, yeah, I don't know. It really hit me. And I loved it. I genuinely loved it. So, yeah, I mean, kudos
next
to that
week
team.
On part two of Kenny's thoughts on God of War.
Yeah, boy. Boy.
As I recall, there were two times in the game where I felt like, is this really necessary?
Yeah.
The first one was, and I'm not sure if I'm getting the order right, but the first one was like, there's this whole level and world where you meet Freya's brother and you go underground and you work with the underground, you know, ninjas, you know, the rebels or whatever. And not only did I feel like there wasn't a really solid resolution between Freya and, what's her brother's name? Something else.
Freer?
Fart. Yeah, fart.
What's your other fart. Dog's name? It's Grant.
Grant. It's not. That's
it's
not
Freya and Grant. Yeah, yeah.
The resolution wasn't strong, but also like there wasn't a whole lot of meat, and they that world serves as sort of like a hub world for a little bit because, you know, something else has happened in the game that prevents you from going back to your original hub, and I just felt like to a certain extent that whole piece could have been removed. And then what was the other part? Oh, the basically all of the zombie land, AC zombie world.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, there was this really boring level where it's like you finally got to this. I'm thinking Heimdall, but that's the name of the character. But like Helheim. You finally make it to Helheim, and it's just I get that it's supposed to be drab because it was icy and death and all that jazz. But it was just a lot of the same. And it was a lot of like fighting the same skeleton guys over and over again. And then this amazing finishing boss fight, which was awesome. Where
it was
you
great.
Fight the
a
big
giant dog. You fight
the
Grant.
Giant dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. You fight. Grant. Yes. And it was epic and super cool. But those two pieces, I felt like, you know, take them or leave them.
You
but
didn't
otherwise,
think the Atreus stuff.
I thought it was great. I thought it was super great. Like, I think it was, I think they, it's so common. Like the trope where you're going to have this context switching and character switching within a game is now we've done it a bajillion times. And as soon as they did it in the game, I was like, oh fuck, here we go. They're going to ruin it. Like, it's going like, to suck.
Watching them neuter Mary Jane Watson. Like,
yeah, it's going to suck. And it didn't. It was actually like there's a split off where when Kratos is sort of handling his own, you know, side business, Atreus is working with one of the dwarfs. He's working with Sundry a lot. And there's this neat little development, like sub kind of faux father son thing that happens with the two of them where they go off and they're like, he's rebelling with him.
It's Sindri. Sindri is a different thing. Yeah.
Sindri. And it's really cool. I thought it was really, really, really great. My one knock on it was that I think they, because of the pacing, the leveling of Atreus was off a little bit. Like with Kratos, you're so used to fighting as him. You're so used to the skill set, adding weapons, adding these stuff. It was fine. So if you switch back to him and you look through a couple of things and you blast a couple of them unlocked, no big deal. But with Atreus, it was like you'd switch to him and it'd be like, unlock this stuff. You'd be like, I don't even know what any of this does yet. Like, which one should I unlock? And I felt like it kind of forced you into playing him too quickly. But other than that, I thought they did a really good job with him. It was really fun every time you switched over to play as him.
Again, they did a really good job. That actor did a really great job being Atreus, and the characters that surround him, which is mostly the Asgardians, which I hope you would know if you listen to a fucking nerd podcast.
yes.
They were good. And I did enjoy those sections. I would say the first run was rough, like the first go. Actually, the whole thing with the giants, because there's one remaining other, well, there's a lot of context there, but Atreus' mom is a giant, and there's this one area where you go and ride this giant thing, this creature through the river.
The hippo thing.
Yeah. So boring. It was so like,
that part was boring. You're reminding me, I didn't like the water pig guy that you, but that I was did like love that world. One. I did love that world. And I do love who his girlfriend or whatever. What's Abracadabra? What's her name?
I don't know her name. I don't remember.
Great though. I thought she was awesome.
Again, but another character without really a great arc in the game. Like,
I don't know. I thought that the way that they related to each other was very like touching. Like she's, you know, she's beyond her years and he's like actually just an adolescent trying to figure stuff out. And so it's, you know, it's a weird relationship, but I think that like, yeah, it was touching. It was very touching. And she's like, way more, it's funny because she's way more magical, but then also like much more self-critical, whereas Atreus is like, I don't care, I'm gonna, you know, Kratos this shit. I felt like the way that she kind of helped unlock his potential seemed natural, and the dialogue was really, really good all the time,
except her grandma's boss fight was super annoying.
Also, you're reminding me that was also annoying. I didn't like that.
I'll keep reminding you of the annoying parts of this, that like, this is the thing, you've forgotten them, but there's a lot more in this game than 20.
Yeah, but there's like 12 other boss fights and they're all like when you fight Thor the first time, it's great. When you fight him the second time, it's great. The Heimdall, like, first of all, we haven't even talked about Heimdall, but his character I thought was hilarious. Like,
so
I thought the job they did on Heimdall was, I mean, it's a smash piece, you know, if you're a fan of Heimdall, but I thought it was great. And the fight was super interesting.
I really liked, I mean, the boss fights, they did a really great job of them. They didn't quite have the endings that the old God of War boss fights did, where you're like totally ripping off the head of someone.
Yeah.
But like the last boss fight wasn't too great. Odin was a pretty boring fight.
There were two, I remember. Odin, especially because Odin happens right after, like the Thor with all the level changing and all that, which was difficult, and the lightning strike, all that jet was actually quite difficult. And then Odin was just sort of like, yeah, I figured it out. There was another one where you're in the like broken space world, whatever that was, the realm that was, and you had to fight like two Valkyries at the same time. And I was just so accustomed to fighting Valkyries in this. And then like in the previous game, I was like, oh man, this is going to suck. I just like wiped the floor with both of those Valkyries immediately. Yeah. And I was like, that didn't seem like a hard boss. Because
they had joint health. When both one health went down, the other one health went down.
Oh yeah, I don't recall that. I just recall being like, uh-oh, and then it was over.
Again, another beautiful thing that kind of didn't pay off arc-wise, because they're just kind of like, actually, we're going to solve it. We don't need you, giant demon guy. Like, that's kind of what happened. Yeah, because remember, Ragnarok is in this game a persona, it's a character. So it's a big ass dude who, that's the sequence you're talking about, is when you essentially make him who he is, and then he shows up at the end, but then you're just like, ah, never mind. And like, he does end up destroying, but it's just like he doesn't have a conclusion. Like, there's a lot of like tangential things like that. Whereas I felt like The original game had a lot tighter time and like had its like, here's like the resolution. Everyone's where they're at in a space. And like, it makes sense based on the events. You feel for almost all of them. And then there's a twist and it's like a good twist, but it's not like, but I was here all along, X-Men. Like, it's not like that, you know, which it's a good twist, but it's a very cheesy twist, I think, in a lot of ways. Although I do love anything Odin is played in this game by Richard Schiff, who is Toby in The West Wing, one of my favorite shows of all time. And he's a good actor.
You're just stupid good, yeah.
He's just so good. I love his delivery, and I love that they didn't like alter it. It's always really, really great. Like he sounds like that in The West Wing too, so it's really funny in some ways. I thought Thor's voice actor, who was in Sons of Anarchy, was phenomenal. Like his voice,
they're so good.
I could just listen to for days. It's just like,
and especially since like he's the one that, I mean, arguably has the most range. You know, it's like everyone else is playing a pretty straightforward character, and so like Kratos, even when he's angry, sounds the same as when he's happy, you know.
Yeah, except Kratos had more range in this, which I love.
He did absolutely. But like with Thor, it's like sometimes you fight him and he's just doing his father's bidding and he's not really into it. Other times he's drunk, other times he's angry, other times he's trying to relate to his daughter, you know. And it's just like there was a bunch of different stuff.
He killed
when he showed up,
so good.
Yeah, the dialogue was super good. I, you know, my favorite, I don't even know what you would call it. My favorite side character was actually the squirrel, the tree squirrel.
Oh yeah, that voice actor is really good too.
That was awesome. I loved that character so much. It was hilarious.
He does. He's a YouTuber. He's a voice actor first and a YouTuber, but he's like famous in both. So he's really good. Has some really funny clips. I really like him, and he killed it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
And then played the different squirrels too, which was also really fun.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the combat. In particular, I want to talk about how terrible I thought the armor and upgrade system was, as well as like the elemental system. So like
about that new weapon first, Kenny, because damn, the new weapon is fucking awesome.
The spear?
Yes.
I did love the spear.
I loved it.
I used it mostly, and it actually made combat like much better, just because getting in close, I got I don't know. The barriers and the elements and all these things that they would put on, just like, and like what you would need to switch weapons. It was kind of almost like they were trying to do, you know, like a triangle of switching with different people, but like the armor that you bought and the upgrade system, it just felt like a lot. Like you could add custom things, and then your own skill tree had like upgrades that you could win by doing achievements that upgrade your skill. And nothing felt like it still kind of fell in. It felt like it forced you to use different things, but because your weapons don't like upgrade together or like you can improve them at the same time, you like essentially are switching to and dying a lot in harder modes against enemies that are like, you should switch to this. And sometimes that's really unclear what's effective against them. And sometimes it's very unclear. It almost seems like they want you to swap out armor for the type of enemies you're facing in each world.
Yep.
And like, it's messy. Like it's very, very messy. And I don't like systems like this. I don't like systems where, I don't know, my favorite upgrade paths are like, this is your armor. Like find and earn the shit to upgrade your armor to different things. Like maybe it's a tree, you know, maybe it splits off to other things. This is just like, here's fucking everything. And like this upgrades skill and luck. And if you have them together, it's skill. And then if you use your amulet and then you add three different skills in a row, it unlocks a special power. And then you unlock seven of those. And then you can do nine of them. And then Atreus also has this thing. And then you have your hilts. But remember, you can upgrade your hilts with experience. And it's just like a nonsense system where it just is so giant that you're like, how do I even know what to do here? It was super messy. And I thought it also made combat really slow. Like you eventually go to just charging the spear and throwing it at people and exploding it. Right. That's what we all did.
I did the same thing you did at first, where I felt like the armor leveling system pushed me into developing two or three different sets that I would keep. And then I would find myself like switching the armor set depending on what I was experiencing.
Oh, I want to be clear. I never switched. I just read it and I was like, this seems like it wants me to switch, but I'm not fucking going to.
Well, I did do the switching thing at first. And then I was like, this is stupid. I'm not going to do this. And so instead what I did after that was I just, at that point in time, I'd kind of figured out which parts of the combat system I liked the most. Yeah. And I just built an armor set that had those things in it. The multipliers for things like, I really liked the shadow power was, and how you could like freeze enemies temporarily and like, or like pause time, like the time warping stuff. So I always did like block and parry time warping stuff across all my armor. And then I just picked the one that looked the coolest that had those things in it and just fought with that one for the rest of the game.
I played a parry heavy character. A lot of my stuff was like the parry shield, and a lot of it was like if you get parries and luck, but I still didn't feel, even like when I upgraded or anything, that like I got any significant advantage as the enemy scaled. Like it just felt like, and I mean, this is harder difficulty. Like it feels like if you invest more, you should, like it should pay off a little more in a lot of ways. But it didn't feel like that at all. It just felt kind of pointless at a certain point, like because you just find armor that's the same level you want to. Sure. And if you need to like up the stats, you can just do that, and the stats upgrade is significant enough where like your boosting of a specific thing is negligible, especially if a particular creature or enemy that you randomly fucking find is like doesn't affect them in any way or is as bad.
You just reminded me about another one of my favorite things about this game. I remember how that when we played the first one, how much we both loved it. It was the first game I remember us commenting on this, where you could tell that the developers of the game had spent so much time on the feel of catching the axe, like throwing the axe and having it.
Because there was a whole video about it.
Oh, every time he did it, you just felt him catching that axe. And they took that shit to like an extreme level in this, where like the shield that you get, if you were parry heavy, that whole like when you block it and then you do the automatic like, you know, throat punch with the shield and the stomping with the spear. I mean, there were so many cool parry moves where every time you did it, it just felt like it's this epic move, and you could like feel it and hear it. It was awesome.
I mean, I have zero complaints about the visuals, and except it, I guess the game crashed on me when I turned on RTX every hour. So I had to
turn
that off.
It never crashed on PS5 for me.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't turn it on RTX either. So there you go. And you also did get 64K, just throwing that out there. It's actually like when it actually runs really well. PC users, like, it has to run though. Just turn off RTX if you're crashing. And then I ran 5K, 2K on my ultra wide at like 60, and it fucking held up. Although I do have a very beefy boy here.
Yes, you do.
Not a 5090 yet, but I'm waiting for that donation from Chips and Bits listeners.
Your 5090s to Kenny Myers.
I think if you had asked me at the beginning of this game, do you like this game? I'd probably been like, it's fine. But I think at the end of the game, I think, yeah, it's a great game. It's super enjoyable. It's not as good as the other game, but it's definitely worth playing. And then like, depending on your level, you can go pretty far, but you can also just go through the story and feel satisfied. But I still feel like it's not as strong as its counterpart. Like it wouldn't be in the game of the year category for me on its release, but it is.
I mean, I think based on, well, because you're playing it now, I think based on the games I played around when I played that one, it would have been up there. I don't think it would have won, but it would have been up there for me. This year, I'm not sure.
I think that was the year Hades came out, so that would be very difficult to.
It wouldn't have beat Hades, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Kenny, what about the ending, though? We haven't even talked about the ending.
Which piece of the ending?
Like the main revelation in the ending.
Which is what?
Which is like the whole part where you go with Atreus and you guys have your resolution, and then you open up the board, the secret drawing boards or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
It was great. It was so awesome. That's
cool.
So awesome. I'm not complaining about that. Like I said, the Kratos, like Atreus stuff, that resolution, that felt tight. That felt really good, really earned, and like really well done. And even Freya and Kratos, like, and then I'm really glad you get
to. And then,
to
like,
carry
are they
going to
do just like a Loki spinoff, or are they going to do like another God of War, but he's no longer the God of War? He's like.
I think he's
rebuilding the realms instead.
I think they're putting him in a different world. This is the Norse sagas 2 games. That's what they've stated. So
cool, man.
They have teased Egypt. So we're gonna go fight motherfucking Ra.
Ooh, sand. Yeah, yeah. Fight some sand. That'd be cool with the blades and
some
shit.
Horus. Oh, man. Some Horus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Get a big ass sword. Because they haven't had a big ass sword. There were some in the earlier games, just haven't gotten one. I think it's time we call it a close. I would say we both recommend this game, but
totally. I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah. It's a good game, but I have reservations. Maybe I wouldn't have had if the first, like the 2018 wasn't so good, like that I'm comparing it to it. Like it's pretty much all that. But on its own, I think it's a very good title, and I think you should play it. And it's nice on PC.
Yeah, rather than comparing it to God of War, just compare it to most other games that you play. And compared to most other games that you play, it's amazing.
Yeah, so like, how would you compare it to Balatro, Matt?
I haven't played that yet.
What's the upgrade? How do you feel about I feel like the Joker upgrade system's much more clear. Well, with that in mind, we are back a little late, but back.
Better late than never, as they say. That is what they say.
Thank you for listening. Next month, we'll be talking about an interesting game that Matt loves in a format Matt loves. It's Laser Eyes. We'll be talking about Lorelei and Laser Eyes.
We're going from as AAA as you get to as indie as you get these days. Yeah.
And I have never played Riven or Myst or any of those games, and I have mixed feelings about The Wanderer, whatever that fucking game we played is.
The Witness.
The Whisperer.
It's definitely not The Witness.
So we'll see how it goes. And with that, I'm Kenny Myers. With me, as always,
Matthew Anderson.
Thanks for listening.